Coming up, it's another episode of Breakfast with the Beats. First, Mike and I each give one player that fantasy baseball managers should go after this weekend in free agency. These are players where opportunities have arisen after the trade deadline, and for reference, I'm buying my player in every league that I'm in. Then, we go through every team's status post-trade deadline and offer our input on how each team did and what they can look forward to for the rest of the season. Finally, in our mental health moment, Mike and I discuss how we get through the grind of a long and tiring work schedule, similar to that of a 162-game season. All this and more on Breakfast with the Beats, which is part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network. But first, a quick word. Oh, and happy birthday, Mike.
Good morning, fantasy baseball friends and family. We are back here with Breakfast with the Beats. It's your old pal Mike Carter here for episode 18. It is August 8th on Saturday morning. I'm here with my loyal friend and partner in crime here on the podcast, Dave Funnel. Dave, happy Saturday to you. What's it like up in Canada today?
Up here, it's hot. Like you said, it was down there with you. It's just hot and sticky and it's the dog days of summer. Oops. But it's good up here. But how is it down there with you? You just celebrated a birthday a couple days ago, didn't you?
Yes, I did have a birthday on Thursday, they tell me.
29. Was it 29?
29 plus a bunch. 29 plus 24, if my math is correct. Yes. Happy to be here. Thanks for the warm wishes. And it was, a lot of people reached out and it was nice to be thought of that day. I'm back into my regular swing of things now. I did go out and celebrate last night with a couple of my local friends. Yes, might have celebrated a little too much. But here we are on Saturday morning recording the show, and we are going to talk about the Major League trade deadline, which passed with a great rumble this week. Yes. We had a very active deadline. It started off sort of slowly, and then by Sunday, it really seemed to pick up steam. What were your overall thoughts on it, Dave, on the trade deadline? We're going to talk about the moves the teams made and didn't make on this show, but just an overall statement on the trade deadline. What did you think?
I loved it. It was, I thought, one of the best ones that we've ever had. And I found myself refreshing on Twitter all day long, seeing what was next. And it was just trade after trade. And it was really nice just to see, you know, a lot of teams go for it, especially teams that don't always make that push. They actually did. And I think that was, it's good for the game when more teams go for it than not. But yeah, overall, it's a great, great day. A lot of speculation, a lot of moves. And this weekend's Fab is going to be really interesting.
It's going to be nuts, right? Because everybody spent the most of their money. Although I did last week pick up Max Clark in a couple of places just because I was the last man standing with the most amount of money. And I overbid on him for sure, but I really needed outfield help. And I got my fingers crossed and praying that he's actually going to be an answer for me in a couple of places. We'll see.
Yeah, no, and you have to overbid at some point if you really want the guy. And he's someone I think who could be a difference maker.
But you know how much I hate overbidding, and I beat myself up over it.
Yeah.
what I hate about it, and I understand why they do it the way that they do. I've had a lot of conversations with far smarter people than I am about Fab. But, you know, if I end up bidding on a guy and I overbid on him by $30 or $40, I get really upset about that. And I know that I shouldn't, but at the same time, you do have to make your moves and get the guys that you really feel like you need to get. And I often come up short because I'm sort of pecunious about the idea of spending a lot of Fab early on. And quite honestly, players that are much better than me, like I think of Dave McDonald, who's in GLARF with me, you know, he spends his Fab like a person who just inherited, you know, $1,000 and wants to go spend it all in one day. Like he will just go out and get guys and doesn't care. And he has like $12 for the rest of the year and he's good, you know, like, and he's a better, much better player than me, probably for a variety of reasons. But that's one of them, is that he just knows what he needs and he goes and gets it. But I really struggle. We'll do a show on that in the wintertime. I want to do like a fireside chat like they do on some of the other podcast and like pour my heart out to you about my fab troubles, because it's, I have to get, it's probably the weakest spot of my game and something that I really need to attack.
I feel it's mine too, because I'm always losing out, but I'm always unwilling to spend money so early on. Mm-hmm. But I see both sides of it. I mean, you get that guy and you have him for the rest of the season. On the other hand, if that guy doesn't work out, then you're stuck with, you know, someone who you might actually have to drop, and then you sure. don't have money to replace them. So
sure.
you've got to really hone in on what you want and when you want it and make sure it hits.
It's that idea of just having, you know, how many opportunities can you give yourself, right? Like if you overbid on somebody right off the bat, or, and like, I can understand, like if you're in a mono league or whatever, like an AL or NL only, and you need to really spend up on somebody who moves over to leagues, in those leagues, it seems like people really do hang on to their fab for the trade deadline specifically for that purpose. Right.
Yeah.
And you'll see guys like Scooble,
and I've got about $83 out of 100 right now, and I'm really getting ready to spend it all this weekend.
I think I saw over the week, over this past week, I was looking at the Tout Wars website, because, you know, I'm in Tout Wars mixed auction, and Tout Wars and NL only. Steve Gardner, I think it was, from USA Today. If you've never met him, I don't think you've ever met him. He's just a wonderful guy, just a great human being. He spent like $869 on Scooble. I think the biggest fab bid that I ever saw was for Ellie De La Cruz when he got called up, but it was like $990 or something like that. It was just staggering. Anyway, well, we won't talk about my fab struggles here because nobody wants to hear about it. This is not a complainer show for us, right? We're going to talk a little bit about the trade deadline. But first, Dave, my first question for you is, you brought up fab a moment ago. Who's a player that you're targeting in fab this weekend because of a trade or a move that was made last week?
All right. So I was looking for someone who was probably deep enough to not be rostered in a lot of leagues. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with Moises Ballesteros.
Ooh, I like it.
Yeah. I'm going to be targeting him in my AL only league, but I think there's potential here for, you know, 15 teamers. I think he's going to get everyday catching reps in LA. I don't think there's anyone there to really, you know, go after his job. He's got a great minor league track record, and I'm not really overly concerned about this year's slump. When he was with the Cubs or back down in the minors, it was more a lot of just inconsistent playing time and being shuffled around and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Plus a learning curve as well. I think he's a good enough hitter where for the rest of the year, he's going to get every day at bats, I believe. And I think he's a good enough hitter where he can learn from his past mistakes and maybe build on something here. I don't know how much power or anything I'm expecting, but just for volume alone, I think he's a nice catcher too in any league where there's two catchers.
That's a really sneaky move because he's going to get DH at bats there too in Los Angeles, but mm-hmm. Los Angeles is current catching situation outside of Ballesteros is Travis d'Arnaud and Tyler Heineman.
Yeah.
I don't see why those guys would be in the way of a 22-year-old guy who's trying to learn on the job. I thought that was a great move for the Angels. And I know that they gave up Zephyr Hahn, who's been very good and will continue to be in a high leverage role for the Cubs. But I thought Ballesteros was a big price to pay in that situation. I like him a lot. I see him play pretty frequently. My good friend Sarah Sanchez from GLARF is a huge Ballesteros fan and really likes him. I like that idea, Dave. I think adding him as a catcher too in a lot of places would be good. And actually, you've given me an idea because I know this will come as a shock to you, but you know, as I continue to struggle with fab, I still roster Austin Wells in a couple of places as a catcher too, just because there's nothing. I know. See, you're pulling on your shirt and you're anxious. But when I tell you that, like, I'm anxious about it too, pal. But Ballesteros, I think, would be a nice pickup there and probably not super expensive.
Yeah. I can't see a lot of teams going all out at this point of the year, unless they need a catcher. Yeah. If he'd be a great replacement for you, I think for Austin Wells.
Yeah, I'm going to cheat a little bit on answering this question because the person that I chose is not somebody who was acquired at the trade deadline, but somebody who was promoted this past week, and that's Kalen Culpepper in Minnesota. Minnesota really has struggled at shortstop this year. They've struggled at a number of different places, but that American League Central is there for the taking. The White Sox, the Guardians, and the Twins are all pretty similar teams, seemingly about equal. I do think the Sox are better than both of those teams at this point, but I don't, they're not proving it right now. They haven't won this week. It's been a bit of a struggle, but I like the idea of Culpepper playing shortstop there. You know, they call him up to play shortstop. They've been basically running with Ryan Kreidler at shortstop for the last couple of months. And that's just not been great. They got Brooks Lee over at third. You know, they've got a combination of different guys playing first and third. Royce Lewis is playing mostly at first base. Josh Bell is getting DH at bats there. But I think Culpepper is a nice dual threat. He's got some power. He's got some speed. And I think that they're going to let him play, and they should let him play. You know, so if you're looking for middle infield help, and Lord knows many of us are, especially in deeper leagues, Culpepper could be a nice target in Fab this weekend.
Yeah, I really like that. And they're going to give him an opportunity to play. And he's proven in the minors that he can actually play. He can do well. Like you said, he's a dual threat. He's got batting average to go. And, you know, he doesn't strike out overly, you know, like too much, and he's got good patience at the plate. So
yeah,
I think they're going to give him a shot here. And I like that actually. And you didn't really cheat because he did get called up and played a game. So technically you've been a major league player.
Yeah. And I did cheat a little bit just because of the fact that he was not acquired essentially. Right. So yeah. Anyhow, I did cheat a little bit, so sue me. Okay, cool. All right, Dave, let's get into the moves that teams made at the deadline or didn't make. And we're going to start right off the top. We're going to go essentially in alphabetical order, not by league. Let's start with the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks acquired Lars Nootbaar from the Cardinals for a couple of prospects and a player to be named later. What did you think about what the Diamondbacks did at the deadline?
I think they held true to their word for what they were said they were going to do at the beginning of the year. They said they had a long-term goal in mind, and they didn't really go out and build on their first half success. Mm-hmm. And it felt like Lars Nootbaar was kind of just someone who was expendable in the sense that he didn't really belong in part of their rebuild. He was, you know, older, and he's had his injury problems in the past. So I see this as it is. They were pretty stagnant, and I think they just want to see what they have going forward for the rest of the season. They're a pretty young team, and I don't really see them doing too much, you know, in the standings or even if they make a wild card. So I think this was pretty par for the course for them.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks have had a pretty good year, though, when you think about it. I mean, 62-55 right now. They're 7.5 games back of the Dodgers, who are obviously, you know, one of the best teams in baseball, if not the best team in baseball. They really needed a lefty bat, and Nootbaar gives them that. I mean, if you look at their lineup, they have Corbin Carroll is the only lefty that plays regularly. I guess Kepler is playing now a lot, but, you know, I'm not a big Max Kepler guy. So I thought that was a nice addition for them. Just it didn't cost them too much. It didn't seem, and he fits right in.
Yeah.
Moving to the Athletics, hard to see a plan here. If they have one, I don't see it. And they just last night, interestingly enough, they let Dave Forst go from their front office, you know, so he's out of there. What do you think about what they did? They didn't do much of anything, really.
They didn't really do anything. And I don't even know if they really have a plan going forward. It's just they're just treading water. But they do have a lot of major injuries right now. So yeah. I can't really see them doing too much down the stretch anyways. It's more or less they're trying to play for the future. And what they did here was just they shed some salary, got rid of some older players, and, you know, just trying to build for the future. And it's got to be tough to be a fan of them just to see them not even do anything at this trade deadline. But it is what it is. And I mean, I still think the future is pretty bright for them.
Having been a fan of a moribund baseball team for years in the White Sox, I can say that there's a couple of guys on this team that I am excited about seeing in the second half with some runway. Jack Perkins is one of those. I think they just need to leave him alone. We'll give him a chance. Same thing with Mason Burnett. They've got some guys that have talent in that rotation. They have some young players that are fun to watch. Henry Bolte is fun. Soderstrom is starting to kind of come alive again. Lawrence Butler looks resurgent. Obviously, they've got a bit of a black hole behind home plate. I mean, they're using Jonah Heim and Maddie them cleanup every day, which is leaves a lot to be desired. But I agree with your take on it. I think the Athletics have some interesting players there and guys that I'm really going to be watching in the second half.
Yeah.
Hey, going down south to Atlanta, the Braves did some tinkering at the deadline and really made, I think, some decent moves that kind of were not given a lot of headlines, but I thought were good things that helped the team.
Yeah, they did all right, but I don't know if they did enough. They did get Tyler Mahle, and he looked really good last night. And he's quite an underrated pitcher, I think, in the sense that he'll quietly be productive for you when healthy. excuse me. And they do need pitching. This is a team that has had so many injuries on the mound. I like what they did, but they didn't really go over the top. And I know they had a deal in place for DeGrom, and unfortunately they had to pivot because he didn't want to waive his no trade clause.
Right.
So overall, I like what they did, but it's not enough to push them over the top. And I don't even know if it's enough to have them advance to the World Series, because I think there's a few other teams that are better than them.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dave. I think that they're going to have an issue if they don't figure it out here in the next like month or so is with their starting pitching. Yeah. Do they have, when you look at a playoff rotation outside of Sale, who do you feel really comfortable with starting in a playoff series? Let's say that you're facing the Dodgers. I mean, are you going to run Bryce Elder out there? I don't know, man. DeGrom would have been a huge get for them. I mean, that would have been that would have really been a huge thing for them to get. Because then you'd say, you're in it. You got two older, starting pitchers that are veterans that are both really good. It would be kind of fun to watch. But you know, they have Strider's done. Schwellenbach, God only knows. Ronaldo Lopez is hurt. AJ Smith-Shawver looked okay when he came back up, and they're going to use him for sure somewhere. But again, the same question holds true. Are you going to start those guys in a game two of a playoff series? Like I just don't see it. Yeah. And it seems like they tried. It just didn't work out.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Baltimore had a very active deadline, and talk about a team that's hard to see the plan here. I was shocked that Adley Rutschman was available for trade and that they moved him. And I know that there's been a lot of debate about the package, and I'll let the people who deal with prospects talk more about that. I can let Eric Cross weigh in on that. He's brilliant with that kind of stuff. But make sense of it for me, Dave. What are the Orioles doing?
I think they were sellers at the deadline, and it's been a disappointing year in the sense that, you know, they went out to get Pete Alonso and they hoped that their pitchers would take a next step forward and have a complete team, but it just really hasn't worked out that way.
Right.
And, you know, as good as Adley is, the guy's had so many injuries over the last few years. The hard part is that he felt like the heart and soul of the team. I always think back to his debut and, seeing him out there shaking hands with the ump, and you could see the team build on that. And that's when their success really started, actually, once he got called up. So to trade him away is really, it's a major thing for this team. Where they're going from here, I don't know. Maybe it's another small rebuild. Maybe they, go in the offseason and try and acquire some players, but they haven't really spent money wisely, and it's kind of in disarray. I think they need pitching, but they got a lot of good prospects is what I've been told. So they at least have that to build on, but they've had so many hitting prospects before. It just hasn't developed. So I'm not sure where to go from here with Baltimore.
I'm really disappointed with them. I was very hopeful a couple of years ago watching those young guys bloom and thought, wow, they're going to be a fun team to watch for years with Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and Holiday when he gets here and whatever. And it seems like all of those guys stagnated. they just stopped developing. Like, I mean, Gunner's had a pretty bad year, honestly. I mean, and we'll talk about that later in a different show, right? We started talking about it a couple of weeks ago about those guys that were going towards the back end of the first round and beginning of the second have been a disaster for fantasy owners or fantasy players, I should say. Sorry. I just don't know what they're doing. Like, signing Pete Alonso should have been the icing on the cake, and it just hasn't really worked out. To your point, they really need to develop some pitching. They really have struggled with the idea of getting these guys to be better. I thought Shane Baz was going to be better this year. He's been pretty mediocre. He just doesn't seem to be taking that next step. And it seems like that's what happens with the Orioles, is that they get there and they're in the show, and then they just kind of stop developing. So it'll be interesting to see what they do next. Speaking of a team that is on fire right now and very interesting, the Red Sox made some significant moves at the deadline. I was a little bit bummed that they got Adley Rutschman and that my White Sox didn't. The White Sox were not willing to pay the price that the Red Sox did, and I get that. Talk a little bit about what Boston did and whether you like it or not.
I really like what they did. excuse me. They continue to fill in these holes that they have, and it doesn't matter what happens. I mean, they trade away a promising pitcher for Curtis Meade. He gets injured after a couple of at-bats, and they continue to win. And they just go out and they just trade for more players. And, you know, I like what they did here with Eric Miller. I like what they did with Adley. They finally have a catcher that can actually hit, like be an offensive weapon. And it's been impressive what they've been able to do all season. I mean, they're missing so many pitchers and so many hitters that they started the season with. And yet they keep now moving on and on and on and keep winning. It's going to be interesting, especially if they get Roman Anthony back and Garrett Crochet back in time for the playoffs.
There's been some talk that Crochet might go to the bullpen coming back, huh?
Yes. Chances are he's in the bullpen just because there isn't much time left in the season for him to actually develop into a starter. I don't know if that's going to carry over into the playoffs or if he'll be ready by the playoffs to be a starter. But even then, I wouldn't expect, you know, like 7 or 8 innings out of him.
Yeah, they could be really dangerous come playoff time, you know, because when you look at their rotation and you think about who they're going to start in the playoffs, you know, Sonny Gray has been fantastic. Ranger Suarez has been good as of late. Peyton Tolley struck out 14 guys last night. So, you know, they have the weapons to be able to deploy those guys in a playoff series and be dangerous. And they are pesky on offense, boy. Let me just say this about the Red Sox and then we'll move on. I have one of my best friends is a big Red Sox fan, and I told him in the offseason when they got Caleb Durbin that he was going to love him. And the first 6 weeks of the season, all I got from my buddy Brian every day was, "You're so wrong about Caleb Durbin. He stinks. I want him to go back to where he came from." Now, oh my God, he's like the second coming of Jesus Christ coming to the Red Sox. You know, now Brian is a big fan. Oh, you were right about Caleb Durbin. I'm like, write it down, because I'm sure that you'll criticize me for something else next week. But I do like what the Red Sox did. I thought they did a very nice job filling in some holes, and they've got good guys to plug in when they need to. You know, Meade being down really hurts, but, you know, they plug in Monasterio, they plug in Sogard, and they just keep going. So kudos to the Red Sox for what they did. The Chicago Cubs maybe had the best deadline of all the teams. They acquired Clay Holmes and Tyrone Taylor from the Mets. They got Ryan Zephyrhan, who we had talked about a little bit earlier, from the Angels. Braxton Garrett, Kevin Gausman. They rid themselves of Jameson Taillon finally, which was a relief for them. David Peterson a little bit earlier back. What do you think about what the Cubs did, Dave?
They were actually my favorite team at the deadline, and I really loved what they did. I'd be pretty happy if I were a Cubs fan right now. They needed pitching, and they went out and they got it. They got three maybe starters that they can insert into their rotation. They've got guys coming back as well, which are going to help. They gave up some of their future, but honestly, I was never a big fan of their prospects. I always thought a lot of them were just hyped up a bit, kind of like the Yankee tax.
Sure.
But I almost wish they were in the American League so that we could see them and maybe the Dodgers in the World Series. I don't know if it's enough to beat the Dodgers to get to the World Series, but I do think they're a really good team, and it's going to be really fun to watch the playoffs.
They are a very intriguing team to watch right now, and the moves that they made with their pitching were really, really good moves, I think. I mean, Holmes is going to start today. We'll see where he's at. But he's a good pitcher for Wrigley Field. He'll keep the ball in the park. He gets a lot of ground balls. Gausman could be resurgent. I think Gausman actually pitched better than what his numbers look like. When he was in Toronto, you would know a little bit more than I do just because you see them more often. But they did some nice things, and I think that their pitching was a real issue that they have, and they went out and they attacked it. They did exactly what they said they were going to do. They got bullpen help. They got a couple of starters. The one thing that I think is tricky for them down the stretch, and I'm not anti-Cubs. I know a lot of Sox fans are anti-Cub people. They're going to have to remain hot hitting, which we'll see how that plays out. But their bullpen is still, to me, a major question mark when they get to the playoffs. You know, these other teams are going to be throwing a little bit more octane at you than what they're doing right now. Although, hats off to Jacob Webb. He's been fantastic in the closer role for them. Even though they got Zephyr Hahn, it looks like Webb is going to remain the closer for now. God knows what's going to happen with Palencia when he's coming back, but they're also going to have reinforcements coming that way too. You know, Hunter Harvey is supposed to be back at some point. Phil Maton should be back at some point. Hobie Milner had an appendectomy a month ago. He should be back fairly soon. He's on rehab right now.
And Justin Steele, too, might be back in the bullpen, too.
Who's that?
Justin Steele, sorry.
But oh, yeah.
When he comes back, there's talk of him being in the bullpen as well. So
yeah, he won't have time to build up for the rest of the season. But they also have Ben Brown, and you know he's got the stress reaction thing going on in his back and his neck, which sounds kind of scary. But if they get him back too, they could have some pretty decent weapons to throw in a series. I have to see what happens. Do they have enough to beat the Dodgers? I guess that remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Talking about Chicago shifting to the south side, my guys, the White Sox, they made a couple of moves that were, I guess I would say, a little under the radar that didn't, but moved the needle for them a little bit, I think. They acquired Joey Bart, who then subsequently got hit in the hand a la Curtis Meade and is out. Looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season. Brenton Doyle from Colorado for a couple of prospects. Huascar Brazoban from the Mets, who has been fantastic this year. And will fill a middle relief role for them. The big acquisition that they got, though, was Luis Castillo from the Mariners, which was a move that I didn't really see coming, but sort of low-key like. Dave, what did you think about what the White Sox did?
I think they didn't oversell for their future. I think they understood where they are, where they were, and where they're going. And I like, even though as a fan, I know you would have loved to see them make a push for this year, I like that they stuck with their long-term goal. And I know I said earlier, I like a lot of teams going for it, but I think this is, in this case, this is a team that spent so many years, carefully laying out this build back and this rebuild. And I think they reminded themselves that, you know what, we have a really bright future. Mm-hmm. Let's not mortgage that right now to, you know, get someone for a few weeks and see where this goes. I think what they did was really good. I think, and like you said, I think Luis Castillo was actually a pretty low key. It was a nice little addition for them. He's an experienced guy who's going to be an upgrade for a couple of their starters. So overall, this should be a nice learning experience for the White Sox to see what they have going forward. And it'll be good for them to play some meaningful baseball and build on that for next year.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fine. I'm glad that they did not trade anybody of immediate remarkable value to get something that's a short-term rental for them. That didn't really make a lot of sense. They have like 13 guys that have debuted this year, and it's been a much better season than anybody, including me, had anticipated.
Yeah,
they're in the race right now. I don't know if they'll finish it. They've really struggled this week. Boston made them look like little leaguers. And then they got shelled by Cleveland last night, two-game lead in the American League Central right now. But I think that those moves were good ones, and letting these guys kind of grow up and play together. You know, Castillo started the other night, and he gave up 5 runs, but it was really, if you watched it, he was bled. I mean, there was 2 broken bat singles, an infield single. Nothing was hit very hard until it was. And then so he actually pitched halfway decent, but – you know, they have questions in their bullpen. They did make a move this morning. They sent down David Sandlin and Noah Schultz and brought up Tanner McDougal and Hagen Smith, who Hagen Smith is one of their top 5 prospects. And they're going to use those guys in the bullpen to try to help bridge that time to getting to Taylor. I mean, they really need this. I firmly believe that Taylor should be their closer. But Will Venable's bullpen management is, I don't even know how to characterize it. Like I've tried to come up with a way to think about it. It's almost like he's just pointing at people and trying different things. I just wish that he would settle on roles. Taylor is terrific and he pitches once a week. I don't get it. Anyway, story for another time. And to put a capstone on the White Sox, goodbye to Sir Anthony Dominguez. Thank God. Oh my God. Cincinnati, very quiet deadline. Surprising. I thought they were going to be a little more active. Didn't you?
Yeah, I really did. And they really didn't do anything. And it's got to be really frustrating for the fans because, you know, you've got players that other teams want. You're not going anywhere and you still can't trade them off. Like, I don't understand how Tyler Stevenson is still a member of the Reds unless their plan is to re-sign him in the offseason. I thought they would trade away Hunter Green, but then we found out this week that he needs surgery on his elbow and he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. So I guess that's why they didn't make that move.
Right.
But it's just a team that seems happy to be less than mediocre. And that's not good for the fans.
Yeah, they're 56 and 59 after showing some signs a couple of weeks ago that maybe they were resurgent a little bit. But there's a lot of guys that remained on this roster that kind of leave you scratching your head. You know, Eugenio Suarez, why? Why is he still there? Yeah. Why did they not trade Blade when they had an opportunity to do so? Brady Singer, another one I thought for sure would be on his way out. Stevenson, as you mentioned astutely. It's hard to see what their plan is. I know that they did call up Chase Petty the other day and stick him in the rotation, and Rhett Lauder's in the rotation now. So I guess we'll see if those guys get some runway here as we go into the season second half. Just very surprised that they didn't move on from any of these other players that they have, mm-hmm. or even some of their bullpen pieces too that would have had value. Pierce Johnson, Brock Burke, you know, those guys had value somewhere, but I guess maybe they just didn't get their price.
Just something. Trade something.
Do something, guys. Do something. Yeah. Dave, we're at a half-hour mark here. We're going to take our first ad break for the day, and we're going to come back and talk about Cleveland and then Colorado. All right, Dave, we're back. The Guardians, our biggest rivals for the White Sox. They made some nice moves at the deadline, I have to admit.
Yeah. They were surprised. I thought they would actually be sellers like they have in the past, and I was actually quite surprised that they bought, but it was smart buys, like going after Foster Griffin. That was a surprise, first of all, that the Nationals were willing to give him up, because mm-hmm. I thought they were talking about extending him. But I love adding Joe Adell, because now they have some power that they mm-hmm. can work with. And even Nathaniel Lowe, we didn't mention that with Cincinnati, but that's a nice little add there, because, you know, he brings in some experience and he could provide some, you know, some power or, you know, batting average for them when needed. And I really like them getting Craig Yoho a while back as well. Mm-hmm. I think the future closer. And if any team, well, I shouldn't say any team could develop pitching because he came from Milwaukee, but Cleveland knows how to handle pitching as well. So I like what they did overall at the deadline, and it's going to be fun to watch the AL Central.
Yeah. Fun for you. I don't know how much fun it's going to be for me. Yeah, they have a nice lineup there now, too. You know, they needed offense, and first base has been a bit of a black hole for them. You know, they've really struggled to get any production there going back quite a ways. And so, you know, Lowe should be able to be in that lineup on a daily basis, and he provides pretty good defense. You know, Stephen Kwan is looking more like himself again, even though he's not producing numbers. His batting average is up, and he's batting leadoff again. Adding to DeLauder and J-Ram seems like a good move. I love the Griffin acquisition for them. They really could use a lefty, and they got one.
Yep.
Colorado. What? I'm not sure exactly what their plan was. They moved Antonio Senzatella to the Brewers. They moved Victor Vodnik to the Marlins. They moved Brenton Doyle to the White Sox. Were you surprised at all by what they did and didn't do?
I thought they did well. They traded away, you know, older players that have value to other teams. I thought they sold high on Senzatella, which was great. They sold Brenton Doyle, which, you know, they had an influx of players there that they had to get rid of. I just don't know if they did enough. they still have a lot of players there that they're going to have to figure out playing time for. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be interesting down the stretch. Maybe this is more of a, let's see what we have right now. And then for next year, we can, you know, move other players that don't work for us and keep who actually does.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought they'd do a little bit more just based on the fact that they're being run by a different group of people now that seems like they have a plan and know what they're doing. It's hard to see what the plan is right now, but I think you're on to something. You know, let's see what these guys have and if they can play. Surprisingly, they signed Mickey Moniak to a two-year extension. I thought for sure he would be somebody that would be on the move, but they apparently want to keep him. They like him well enough DHing to keep him there. Cole Carrig looks like he's a fixture. Jake McCarthy has looked all of a sudden like he's an all-star, and I don't know if that's sustainable and real, but he's been great. So it's hard to see exactly what the plan is there, but maybe you're right. Maybe they're just going to see what they can get. I low-key like the Norby pickup, and I think he needs a clean slate, and Colorado might be a good place to get that.
Yeah.
Detroit. Well, you know, they traded their best guy. They've struggled. A team that was considered to be the favorite to win the American League Central is 56-60, but they're only 3.5 games out of first place in a very weak American League Central. They traded Skubal. Did they get enough for Skubal?
Maybe. I don't know what other teams were willing to do. I know that Milwaukee wasn't willing to give away trade away a lot of their top prospects, whereas the Dodgers were. They traded away, you know, one of their top outfielders and maybe one of their best prospect pitchers. So I know they also wanted a pitcher in return, and I guess the Brewers weren't willing to give them a pitcher in return. So I think they did enough. It was weird that they did the trade on a Saturday and not wait until Monday, because perhaps, you know, the Brewers could have, you know, upped their offer a bit. Losing Skubal and losing Mize is a huge hole for them to overcome. And it's putting a lot of belief in what they have right now is actually going to pan out. So they restocked their minor league system, which is great. And they can go from there. But it's tough. It's tough because a lot of fans thought that they were going to, you know, win the Central this year, and now they've lost their two best pitchers and are scrambling to maybe make a wild card. But even then, that seems far-fetched.
Yeah, they seem like they're kind of stuck in neutral here, you know, trading Skubal away, and they got good prospects. I know he's a rental, but – you know, the Dodgers will probably look to sign him long-term, right? I mean, I don't know if they actually will or what his plan is. Skubal's kind of an interesting guy, right? He's, you know, he's very cerebral. Who knows what he's going to really want to do in testing free agency. The Tigers lowballed him, first off. We know that.
Yeah.
Offered him a very poor contract in the wintertime. And now they're stuck with, you know, Jackson Jobe and Drew Anderson being in their rotation for the time being. And Jobe is starting tonight. First time back since he had the surgery last spring. It'll be fun to kind of watch what he does, but they're kind of looking like they're going to finish as also rans. Although last year when they made moves at the deadline, they got hot right after that and ended up getting to the playoffs. So it remains to be seen. I'm interested to see what Jobe does. I thought they could have gotten a little bit more than what they got. River Ryan to me doesn't excite me for them. I was hoping that the Brewers would get him because the Brewers are my National League team, as you know, and I really wish that they would have upped their offer. It does sound after the fact that they did offer Lara, but did not want to part with Logan Henderson, which I completely understand. Logan Henderson's part of their future. Okay, moving to Houston, what are they doing?
I didn't get it. I don't think they did much of anything. I know I read that they were trying to look for an outfielder who's a right-handed batter. So they did try. But other than getting Varsho, really, they didn't really do much. And they traded away a lot of their pitching as well over the past week. And I don't know. I could make an argument that they're sellers, but I also know that there are reports that the, is it the general manager, he's going to be, or the manager, one of them is going to be under fire if they don't really do anything for the rest of the season. So it didn't really feel like he was fighting for his job there to actually keep his job. I'm not a fan of what they did. And I think the rest of the division benefited from them not making any moves, because I don't see them actually making the playoffs.
Yeah. Very odd team to me. It feels to me like a collection of spare parts besides some of the guys that they have, like Pena, obviously, and Alvarez are terrific. Altuve is kind of starting to show the signs of age at 36. The pitching, it leaves a lot to be desired. I've written about Peter Lambert a few times, and he's fine as a streamer, but not as a guy that's your number three in your rotation. I am interested to see Hayden Wesneski back and see what he does with an opportunity. But they seem to kind of be treading water too. And I'll be really honest. I don't really want them to be good because I don't like this team. I haven't for a long time, and I'll be very vocal about that. If you get caught cheating and you get slapped on the wrist, they should have gotten a bigger penalty than what they did. But now I'm sounding old, so I'm going to stop doing that. Kansas City, disappointing season for them as well. There were many people that expected Kansas City to kind of be in this mix, and people picked them as a dark horse sleeper candidate to win the American League Central. They're currently 48-69 and going to finish in last place in the American League Central. Their deadline was not super interesting, and I a little bit surprised, I think I was. How about you?
Yeah, they sold, which was fine, but I don't know if they ended up selling enough. I feel like they should have really gone for a rebuild and maybe restock their minor league system, which isn't really one of the best. But they got something for Lane Thomas. They got something for an injured Chris Bubich. So you've got to give them something for that. Like, that's kudos for that. But they have a lot of bullpen arms that they weren't able to sell. And it was kind of odd that nobody wanted, what was their strength. And I don't know. It's just disappointing, and it's kind of resemblant of their whole season. Just a big disappointment.
Yeah, I was surprised too. I thought guys like Waka and Seth Lugo might have some value at the trade deadline. I thought either one of those guys made sense for the White Sox. They ended up getting Castillo instead, who, Castillo's got a little more octane than those guys do, and I understand that. But they didn't move any of their bullpen guys, and now they've moved Daniel Lynch the fourth to the rotation, which might be interesting in some leagues. He's been great in the bullpen, although his strikeout stuff is not quite there. They seem to have a type, don't they, in their rotation? They kind of pitch to contact and don't have any of these guys that bring a ton of velo. But if you're looking for a closer, anyone out there, Steven Cruz is a name to know. Alex Lang at times appears to look like me throwing batting practice to the freshman at the high school. So I think Cruz has an opportunity there and should get some save chances down the stretch. Okay, let's go to Los Angeles. The Angels, pretty busy deadline for them. They moved some pieces around. What did you think about what they did, Dave? And what do you think the future looks like there? We talked a little bit about that with Ballesteros earlier.
Yeah, I really liked what they did. They with a new GM, they really wanted to go for a rebuild, and they sold everyone that they had, and they didn't really have much talent to begin with, but they went out and they sold anyone that they could. And I like what they did, and it's unprecedented in Los Angeles, because typically they don't do what you're supposed to do, but here they did. And it was a good deadline. And, we talked about Moises Ballesteros earlier. I like what they got for Jose Soriano, which was great. I can't pronounce his name though, but Arjan Nimala from Toronto, one of their best prospects. Something to build on here. Something to give them hope that, maybe not this year, maybe not next, but we have direction. We have a plan in place, which is not something that the Angels have had.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch what they do. They do have some young talent there, and some guys that they probably should give some runway to. I mean, I'm tired of seeing Jose Siri and Adam Frazier playing. Like, let's get some of these other guys going. What I don't understand, and maybe, you know, this is a conversation for a different time, but they really don't like to call up these young guys and let them play. Like, why is Christian Moore not playing? Why is Kyren Paris not up? Like, I don't, what are they waiting for? Are those guys just not very good? They're 23 and 24 years old. They should be playing, right?
They're an interesting team in the sense that they take everyone's cast offs, like Vaughn Grissom, and
he's been pretty good.
Yeah. And if they had a minor league system that was more focused on development and not just pushing them, like, to your point, they haven't been calling them up, but they also have, like, some guys go through their minor league system so fast that there's never any patience in play. And then when that happens, then the players, they lose their confidence and they don't know what to do. And then they just go to the next year. And it's a lot of disarray. I just hope that there's something there with, you know, the new management in place, because what they have going on right now, there was a game the other day, the Angels and in whoever, and the visitors broadcast was saying that Artie Moreno said that winning isn't even in their top five for fans, like importance for fans. And
oh boy,
how do you say that out loud? Winning is the biggest factor, I think, for getting fans to the ballpark.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's bad. Like, you know, no. we're all jumping on board here, but fans love a good time. Fans love to see a team play well and win and have a reason to cheer for you.
Right.
If they don't have a reason to cheer for you, they're not going to come to the ballpark and support you. So
for sure. Yeah. There are so many teams in the major leagues that don't seem like they have a blueprint. Like, you can follow it on a lot of teams that we've already talked about, right? Like, you can see what the plan is for, like, the White Sox. You can see what the plan is for the Guardians. Like, you just don't see it with this organization. An organization that we do see a blueprint for is the Los Angeles Dodgers, shifting to the other side of the freeway here. They made some, the big move was Skubal. But they made some other ones that kind of flew under the radar a little bit that were really solid acquisitions as well. They lost Dalton Rushing to an elbow injury, and he might be in line for Tommy John surgery, quite honestly. Hard to say. They went back out and acquired two catchers that they had before, Hunter Fiducia and Ben Roethlisberger, who are solid defensive-type guys, not known for their hitting. They're still a little bit of ways back from getting Will Smith. But this was just another case of the rich getting richer, wasn't it, Dave?
It really was. They got the best pitcher out there, and their rotation looks outstanding right now. Can I just say one thing? I don't think the Dodgers are ruining baseball.
And I don't either.
They're really good at what they do.
Yes.
They're not breaking any rules. It was really interesting. The other day I watched a clip of Shane Green on Twitter talk about how his time there was something that changed his career. Mm-hmm. He went from team to team and he wasn't doing well. He went to the Dodgers and they realized right away what he was doing wrong. I can't remember which pitch it was, but they said, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing this. Here's some pictures. Here's some evidence. This is how you fix it. They know what they're doing. They can develop their prospects. They are so advanced in everything. They're playing chess while most teams are playing checkers. They have an owner who wants to win, as opposed to other teams who use those teams as financial assets.
Yes,
that's the major problem I find in this league. And to blame the Dodgers for actually wanting to win and do well is a crime, I think. And
yeah, that's brilliantly stated. And I made the case to several of my friends as well who were complaining about the Dodgers going out and getting it done. Not only are they the best team on paper and on the field, they also have a top five minor league organization, and they're probably the best organization in the sport, if not all of sports. And so while we want to throw stones at it and say, yeah, you know, you got the prospect capital, you go out and get Skubal. Well, not everybody has that. They traded two guys that are not even in their top 10 prospect list to get Skubal. We talked about this last weekend. We thought maybe Tibbs would be the guy and not Zaire Hope. But here we are. They can do what they want to do. They are playing chess, as you point out. Here's the thing. They're just going to figure out. They just gather a collection of different people. And then when they get to October, they just figure it out. So Snell will be back next week, right? Tyler Glasnow is going to be back at some point from his back issues. Chris Bubich is throwing and will come back. So are those guys going to be starters in the rotation for the fall? We don't know. They're waiting to find out what's going to happen with Ohtani. You know, he's got this biceps thing. They don't even need him to pitch. They've got Yamamoto. Sasaki looks resurgent all of a sudden, although he's always kind of a crapshoot. But that's what they'll do. They'll have three or four starters that they'll use. I mean, Justin Robleski was in the All-Star game. He might not even be on the playoff roster. I mean, just think about what they do. Obviously, Yamamoto, obviously, Skubal, and then somebody of Snell, Glasnow, Ohtani will be in that playoff rotation. And they'll stick the rest of those guys in the bullpen. But don't stop there. Look at the other guys that are hurt that they can bring up if they need a refresh. They've got Ben Kasperias, who's hurt. Brewster Graterol had shoulder surgery, and he's supposed to be coming back at some point. Seth Halverson, Will Klein's been valuable for them. Brock Stewart, Trinan. It's just an embarrassment of riches, but it's because they're so well run. That's why that ends up happening.
They're that team in your fantasy league where that whoever's running that team knows every manager's tendencies. They know every manager's needs. They're out there actively making those deals, communicating with others. They're picking up players ahead of time. They're seeing everything. They're that. And to get upset, you should only be upset at yourself for not doing it first, not at the Dodgers for actually doing it.
Very, very, very astute commentary, Dave. Moving to Miami, I liked a little bit about what they did. I'm not sure trading Hicks away was necessarily the best move, but they got a pretty good ransom for him. What did you think about what the Marlins did? It seems like they're kind of always moving people and then restocking.
Yeah, it was the Marlins way. They traded away two bullpen arms, but they got two back and they restocked their farm system. So they found a way to, you know, trade away 50 cents, but they got 10 dimes and maybe throw in a couple nickels on the side. It was just, just the way that they do it. Overall, it was good. And I'm glad they didn't trade away their big name players who they were rumored to be trying to deal away.
Shifting back north, Milwaukee had a little bit of an odd deadline. You know, they were talked about in the Skubal sweepstakes. They ended up making a couple of different moves, lower interest, perhaps, I guess you would say. They got Dustin May and Jojo Romero from the Cardinals. That was a trade that I liked for them. I know people don't think Dustin May is a world beater, but he's actually pretty useful. They also acquired Antonio Senzatella from the Colorado Rockies and a couple other moves there. But what did you think about what they did? It was a little less than overwhelming.
It was, because I think they were, like we said, they were one of the teams that should have gone all in for Skubal. But like we said, they didn't really want to trade away their biggest names. I think they may have overpaid for Dustin May. Now, I'm not one to speak on prospects, but from what I've heard, what they gave up to St. Louis was a huge, huge haul. So it's almost as if, well, we didn't get Skubal. Who else is out there? Oh, it's Dustin May. Okay, let's give what we need to do to get him. But it'll be interesting because they're a really well put together team with one of the league's best managers. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, you know, they can stay healthy enough and utilize all of these arms that they have. But it'll be interesting to see if they can compete and contend with the Dodgers.
Seems like they're going to a 6-man rotation in an attempt to keep Miz and Henderson and Harrison and those guys fresh.
Yeah.
As they, you know, start to approach the playoffs. I'm always rooting for them to push forward. I thought that the Senzatella and Romero acquisitions were really solid for them. Their bullpen is already among the best with Miguel and Uribe and Ashby at the back end. But adding Senzatella and Romero gives them other weapons that they can use in the playoffs to extend, you know, get to those guys and extend to the back end of their bullpen. Mm-hmm. Pretty interesting stuff there for Milwaukee. Minnesota, the Twins. Interesting. Decided to kind of go in on this. They ended up acquiring Jeff Hoffman, Dean Kremer, and AJ Minter over the course of a few days leading up to the deadline. Surprised about the Hoffman addition for them. I still think that he will close. I know Yandres Gomez has been wonderful for them and has gotten the last two opportunities, but I really, really like Hoffman. I always have. His stuff is just electric, and if he controls the walks, he's a huge weapon for them. What did you think about what Minnesota did and didn't do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, I was pretty surprised that they actually went in and they filled what I thought was their biggest hole, was just they haven't been able to develop relief pitching and keep them here. So, you know, to get Hoffman, Kramer, and AJ Minter, that's a pretty good trio to actually go for it in what could be a winnable division. It just felt like, you know, someone going in on their last quarter and at the slot machine and actually it paying off. So kudos to them for going for it. And I mean, their minor league system is strong enough where if this doesn't work out this year, it's not the end of the world and they can maybe come back even better next year.
Yep. Minnesota always kind of in it, I think. You know, those are very understated moves. Kremer is a really good pitcher, and not great for fantasy purposes, but he's good in reality. So that'll be fun to watch them down the stretch. The Mets, speaking of a team with a blueprint that broke, they moved a bunch of guys around before the trade deadline. Holmes, Taylor, Luke Weaver was another one that got moved to Pittsburgh. They moved Brooks Raley, Husker Brazoban, AJ Minter. Anybody who wasn't nailed down in their bullpen, they moved Freddy Peralta. What do you think their plan is for the rest of the season, Dave? Obviously, they've really struggled. They're 51-66, 19.5 games out of first place. Season's over for them.
I like what they did. They were able to trade away, you know, things that weren't working. They traded away experience and they got some prospects back, which is great. I wish they had traded away more. I kind of wish they had tried to trade away, you know, Marcus Semien and Luis Robert, but they did what they did. And I think they realized that this is not working this year. And who knows, maybe in the off season, they trade away more or just DFA players. I don't know, but overall it's good. And it's something for the Mets to look forward to in the future.
Yeah. I have a similar question for them too, in terms of like looking at the rotation. I mean, they have McLean, Scott, and Thornton, who all look like they have futures with the team. They're currently using Sean Manea and Robert Stock, who's a great story, a really funny follow on Twitter. If you're not following him, and I wish him all the best, but you just look at this and you think, well, where's Jonah Tong? Why is he not in this mix? Like, I don't know. Just, I guess we'll see what happens. There's still a couple months to go. Moving to the Yankees made a couple of pretty big moves. They got Helio Ramos from the Giants, paid for him, it seems like, and then Luis Garcia Jr. from the Nationals, and they paid for him too, it looks like. What do you think about the Yankees, and do you think that these are enough moves to strengthen them down the stretch?
I like what they did. They got two really good hitters, and I think I don't think it's enough because I think they had more holes than they were able to fill. Mm-hmm. But I think it's enough for them to actually contend in the American League. I don't know if it's enough for them to win the American League, but a lot of that will just depend on their health going forward. They've got some pitchers coming back who are going to help. And they obviously need Aaron Judge to return. But if Judge and Stanton can come back, and if they can get Carlos Rodon back healthy enough, uh-huh. It might actually be enough to beat the Red Sox or whoever else is competing there.
Yeah, but they definitely have the pitching depth to be able to compete in a series if they have Rodon back with Fried, Cole, Schlittler. Sorry, Cam. Schlittler. Not what I was about to say. And Rodon. Will those guys hold up? I mean, Cole's 35 going on 36. Fried is 33 with a lot of miles on that arm. Remains to be seen what happens there. I wonder kind of out loud, you know, they brought up George Lombard Jr., who looks like defensively, at least, he's going to be a great player for them there. I think they're done with Anthony Volpe finally. It's taken years for them to realize that he's not Derek Jeter. And I wonder if what they do is, if they get Stanton and Judge back, if they get Rice some reps behind the plate and bench Wells, who's just been terrible. I know defensively he's very good, but his hitting has been horrible this year. I wonder if that's a move that they could use too. It's not a trade deadline move necessarily, but it would be something that might pay dividends for them.
That's something I think they should do. I don't know if they do though. I don't think Boone wants Rice behind the plate, or maybe Rice doesn't want to go behind the plate, but it would really solve two problems, like two birds, one stone.
Yes, agreed. And I think that they should do that, but I don't know if they actually will. And I know a lot of people are very upset with Brian Cashman, as usual, and Aaron Boone, as usual. Those guys can't do anything right in the eyes of Yankees fans for the most part. Philadelphia made some good moves, I think. They really kind of tried to strengthen their bullpen. They got Brooks Raley and Caleb Killian. They also added Luis Arraez. Thoughts on what the Phillies did? Do you think that they're built to last?
I like what they did. They went out and they got people. I think it was last year. They didn't really do well at the deadline and it cost them. This year they went out. I think Luis Arraez is underrated. I liked Colby Thompson for what he is, and Luke Raley's pretty solid. So they were able to go out there and solidify their team and make it stronger. And, you know, they're maybe an underrated or under the radar team here to actually push to make the World Series, especially with their rotation. Overall, I'd give them an A.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Phillies. I think that they make very astute moves. Dave Dombrowski is not afraid to make trades and really put himself out there. I like, again, I know I keep kind of harping on this. They have a great daily lineup. Adding Arraez, a high contact guy, to their volume of strikeouts was a really smart move, I thought. And now if he has to play second base for a long time, that could be problematic. But they move Stott over to third, and they're making it work there. Justin Crawford has looked like a pretty good player here over the last month or 6 weeks. But they too have the pitching. They have the pitching to be able to compete. In a playoff series, you're going to have to beat Sanchez. You're going to have to beat Wheeler and probably Lizardo. And they'll move Nola and Painter to the bullpen, or Painter won't make the team. But they rebuilt their bullpen on the fly. They've done a really nice job. Very good. Pittsburgh. Wow. What to say here? You know, they have struggled here as of late, but they rebuilt their bullpen in 72 hours. They added Luke Weaver. They added Camilo Duvall, Kirby Yates, and Lake Bacar from the Marlins. What do you think about this squad, Dave?
I really like that they went out and they actually tried. They bought. and it goes with what they were doing in the offseason as well. They're out there trying to build a team to compete. And if they didn't have as much bad luck as they've had this year with injuries, I think it would be a completely different story right now. And I think they'd be contending with the Cubs and the Brewers to actually win the division. O'Neill Cruz might be coming back soon. They should be getting Connor Griffin back at some point. Ryan O'Hearn could be back late in the season. So if this team could make a push to make the playoffs, there could be a chance with a bullpen like this and a rotation as strong as it is to actually do something. But I just don't think the timing's right for them.
Yeah.
Regardless, I love what they did, and they went out and they tried.
Well, they're building it for the future, I feel. You know, they added some guys in the bullpen to try to get them to the back end, where they've got Montgomery and Soto and Weaver as kind of a three-headed closing monster. I like the idea. It goes back a little bit further than that for me, like from the trade deadline. You know, they got Robert Hassel the third, you know, who has not been great for the Nationals, not really had much of an opportunity, but it looks like he could get an opportunity in Pittsburgh with some runway. Jacob Gonzalez from the White Sox, the Sox wanted that pick to be able to pick Landon Tomy in the draft, and they did that. But Gonzalez has actually had a decent year and looks like a guy that they could use as some type of a utility guy. So they're going back a little bit further than that and just continuing to add young guys and give them an opportunity. I like what they did.
Yeah.
San Diego, dude, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know what to say about San Diego anymore. Like, I feel like they're 60-57. They should be way better than what they are. They went out at the trade deadline and got Robbie Ray and Casey Mize. I was surprised. What was your take on what they did?
I was surprised too. I was surprised that they actually went out and acquired starting pitching. Not because they don't need it, but because I just didn't see them as buyers. I really wish this team would sell and rebuild. Yes. And just donate some of these bad contracts to other teams for something. But they continue to push on and try and compete. But I think at the end of the day, they're just going to be disappointed at the end mm-hmm. and wonder why they're, you know, they don't have many minor league options left to help out and come up because they keep trading them away for players that just don't work.
Those of you that are still listening might be wondering why we haven't taken a second ad break yet. And I've been wondering that myself. So we are at an hour mark. We're going to come back and finish up and finish a trade deadline acquisitions and then also do our mental health minute. We'll be back after these words. All right, Dave, we're fresh off the San Diego Padres. The Giants, Buster Posey. What? what are they doing? I'm not sure. Are they in a full rebuild now? Do you think? What are we going to see here?
They really should be in a rebuild, and they have so many overpriced players that they could get a lot for, and they just haven't been able to trade them. So they dealt away, you know, smaller pieces. They dealt away Ramos, which was actually a bigger piece, but overall, it just. They traded away their minor pieces, but they kept the biggest pieces that they should trade. It should have been a reverse. Maybe keep who they traded, but trade away, you know, Devers and Adames and just do the rebuild because I don't think they're close. But they did rebuild somewhat their minor league system, so at least they have that.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I really want to see Buster Posey be successful. I admire him as a player and as a human being. He seems to be a real gentleman. But the plan here to me is not real clear. You know, they've got some young guys that Aldridge looks like he could be a player. You know, their Susek looks like he might be okay. They're going to let McCray play a little bit. But the idea that you're going to continue to run Jung-Hoo Lee, Adames, and Devers out there on a daily basis that you're paying a lot of money to that are not super productive guys. I'm just surprised that they didn't have somebody take those guys off their hands and offer to pay down some of the contract to get more. But we'll see what happens. They did move some guys for prospects and are trying to restock. So I'll give them credit for that. Seattle, pretty quiet deadline for them. They got Taylor Ward, nice pickup for them. And then they traded Castillo to my beloved White Sox for a package of Sir Anthony Dominguez, who's got another year on that contract, like an albatross deal, Nolan Jones and prospect Boston Smith. This is a weird buy to me.
Yeah, they it's almost like they believe we did it last year, we're gonna do it this year.
Yeah,
and with that in mind, it's just they added, you know, small pieces to maybe help out. I like that they were able to trade away Luis Castillo because I don't think he was happy being part of the six-man rotation. Mm-hmm. And I think he was actually the one who was causing the most problems when there were, you know, piggybacking and all that stuff. So I think they did well trading away there, but not nearly enough to help out for what they need. They just need more hitting. And I don't think they've done enough to actually make a push down the stretch here.
Yeah. I think getting Ward is a nice get for them. He's a veteran. He's a pretty good hitter. He gets on base. They're going to use him in the leadoff spot and have him play right field. They did get Brendan Donovan back this week, finally, after what seemed like years of waiting. He had hit a couple of home runs before he went down. I don't know what they're going to get out of him now and if that's going to be enough. It's another team that has just been really disappointing. I mean, Cal Raleigh, we probably could devote a whole show to his struggles of what's been going on this year. But he's very emblematic of the problem that they have. They don't hit enough. So that'll be something to watch down the stretch. Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals. They got Caleb Ferguson for money. They traded Lars Nootbaar. They traded Dustin May and Jojo Romero. Seems like they got a pretty good haul for May. The Cardinals are, excuse me, ostensibly in this race at 58-58. Were you surprised in the direction that they went?
I was. So when we were talking about the Diamondbacks, I actually got mixed up and was talking about the Cardinals when I said they had that offseason mission in mind where we're not going to push too far and we're going to look at the long-term goals. That's what I meant actually about the Cardinals. So I actually see what they did here. They had that goal in mind from the beginning of the year that we know what we want. We have a long-term plan in place, and I think they stuck with it here. Like we said, they got a really good haul for Dustin May, so I think they restocked their minor league system pretty well there. And like I said, talking about the Diamondbacks, Nootbaar felt like a man out of place here. He's older, And just, he was someone that could probably help a contender as opposed to a rebuilder. So overall, I think they did well. And I think as good as it is to see teams go for it, this is one that I'm happy didn't.
Yeah, they definitely are seemingly making a build for the future. I'm rooting for them. I would really like to see, selfishly and baseball wise, I'd really like to see Matthew Liberatore kind of take off here in the second half. He had a really good start earlier this week, which he went six innings and struck out seven, only one walk. I like him a lot. Somebody that I targeted for the second half in a lot of leagues that I'm in. But yeah, St. Louis did some good stuff there, I thought. Tampa, God, I love Tampa. I love Tampa Bay. I love what they do. Another great organization. They got Tyler Wells to put into their bullpen. They got Liam Hicks to put into the lineup. They got Freddie Peralta to go into their rotation. I can't say enough about these guys. I think they too are another organization that's playing chess while other people are playing checkers. Dave, do they have enough to be able to get over the hump and not only make the playoffs but make some noise?
It's going to be interesting because that AL East is going to be really good. There's three legitimate teams that I think could be the three best teams in the American League right there. So they did what they needed to do to keep up with that. I mean, if they can turn around Freddie Peralta, and they might be able to, they've got themselves there a legitimate close to an ace. Tyler Wells has been outstanding for Baltimore, and he's only going to do better, I think, in Tampa. And they've got a potentially legitimate catcher here in Liam Hicks. So overall, A-plus for them, and it's going to be really fun to watch the AL East.
It's always funny to me because people will say at the trade deadline for Tampa, they'll say, well, why didn't Tampa go out and get like an impact bat? They love to platoon, and they've got it down to a science. I mean, if you were – before the season, if someone had told you that Tampa Bay was going to get meaningful contributions from Victor Mesa Jr., Johnny DeLuca, and Ryan Velarde, you would have said, oh, my God, they must be having a terrible season. Yet here we are where they are in first place at 69-46 in the division. And really, the Yankees are 4.5 games behind, but it feels like they could be even more. Yeah. Shifting over to Texas, I'm not sure what to make out of this one. I know that DeGrom, you know, did not waive his no-trade clause. He's got full no-trade protection there. He didn't want to go anywhere. They traded Josh Smith and then got Chase Silseth and Logan Ohapi. Not sure what the plan is here.
I think they had a plan that, you know, we're going to rebuild here. Let's trade away DeGrom. Maybe we can trade away Eovaldi and go from there. But with DeGrom waiving that no trade clause, they were kind of in a bind where they couldn't really do anything. So I know DeGrom believes that they can win there, and maybe they can if they can retool in the offseason. I like getting Logan Ohapi. I think a new organization, I think he can turn his career around. And I've heard good things about Chase Silseth, but I can't really speak too much about why he's going to be great. So overall, it was okay. As long as in the offseason they have a plan in place that they can just, you know, actually try and compete.
Yeah, they're running Nicky Lopez and Elias Diaz out there every day. That's not so good.
Yeah.
But they're a team too, though. And, you know, if they put together a 7 or 8 game winning streak, they're kind of right back in this mix. And their pitching, starting pitching is probably good enough to do it. I'm a little intrigued by Cody Bradford, as I know you are. And Jordan Montgomery just was activated this week as well. And looks like he's going to pitch as the long man out of the bullpen. Could be kind of fun to watch down the stretch here and see what they do. Toronto, again, I don't know. You know, I know you're not necessarily a big Blue Jays fan, but that's your local team. What did you think about what they did?
I think they did okay. I know last week we talked about in Dynasty, if you can trade and sell at the same time, do it. And I think that's what they did here. They traded away Gausman and everyone thought the sky was falling. But then next thing you know, they go out and get Jose Soriano. So overall, I'd say they're still where they were. It's the same line. They traded away some decent prospects, but they got some good ones in return. So I don't know. It was okay. It wasn't anything major, like in the sense, like they're not that much better or that much worse.
Right.
I just think they're where they are. I kind of like the Jameson Taillon addition as well. I don't know if I got a soft spot for him. I just kind of always liked him. So,
fellow Canadian.
Yeah, I'd like to see him get another shot just to turn things around. But overall, yeah, I'd say they did well.
You know, I was surprised a little bit. I think adding Soriano to Cease gives them a really good 1-2 moving forward. Maybe not so much effective for this year, but moving forward in the next year. I was a little surprised that they didn't move Bieber. I thought he was a guy that they would be able to move to. They must not have gotten the price, the asking price that they wanted. Tyone needed to get out of Chicago. You know, it's not his fault that he signed a 4-year contract here and was largely unsuccessful. There were moments that he had really good success too. But Cubs fans essentially ran him out of town. And I understand it. I mean, he gave up a lot of home runs. And Wrigley Field's a really tough place to pitch. And so I wish him all the best. I hope at 34 that he's not done. It looks like his better days are behind him. But I, too, am a fan of Tyone and hope he does well. They're still running Max Scherzer out there today for some reason. I don't know why. he needs to hang it up. You know, take his one blue eye and his one brown eye and go home. Mm-hmm. Finally, our last team here is the Washington Nationals. Interesting deadline for them, kind of in that same building and subtracting mode. They did trade Foster Griffin. They traded Luis Garcia Jr. They moved Curtis Meade to get Connolly early, which was a move that I really liked for them. What did you think about what they did at the deadline, Dave?
I would give it an A as long as Connolly early isn't a bust in the sense that he needs major surgery and will be out for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. If that's, I mean, they should have known going in, like he was injured. So, I mean, I'm sure they did their due diligence, but the fact that they were able to restock their minor league system, which is something I think they needed, and just, you know, get a future pitcher that they can use. I think they did pretty well here. And I think the future is bright for Washington.
I'm excited to see some of these younger guys play, like Ortiz, and House looks like he's going to get a little bit of run playing third base. You know, I do like Daewon Lyle. You and I were talking about him yesterday. I think he's a guy that's waiting to develop and take that next step. But for those of you that are looking for saves, and I know all of us are, a guy to earmark here is Yovani Cruz, who they got in the Yankees trade for Luis Garcia Jr. He's already in a high leverage role in that bullpen. And the only guy that he really has to beat out for that closer role is Clayton Beater. Now, Beater did get the save last night and Cruz was credited with a hold, but he has got nasty wipeout stuff and is a guy that could get some save opportunities down the stretch. And you and I both know in these deeper leagues, 3 to 5 saves can make a huge difference. And if he gets those for you, is a guy that you should maybe put a small bid on this weekend and hope that he gets the job. Dave, that wraps up all of our trade deadline acquisitions for all 30 teams. Let's shift over to our mental health moment. And similar to this show, we've talked about this before. Baseball is really a grind, and work can be a real grind. You know, we're back in school this coming week here in Illinois. And, you know, baseball is a 162-game season. We still have thereabouts 45, 50 games to go for most of these teams. In our field of work, you know, it's a grind too. And we have a long school year kind of ahead of us. We've done the same thing for years. You've been doing it for a long time. I've been doing this for over 30 years. How do you approach the day-to-day grind and kind of monotony of your job?
Well, for me, I admittedly hate the month of September. It's when I start school back. And it's hard, especially in kindergarten, because it's a weird job that you don't realize how far, at least for me, how far kids have really come until you start over with them in kindergarten. It's not like, you know, different grades where you see a child come in and they can do different things and you just have to teach them how to build on those skills. In kindergarten, I'm actually teaching them those initial skills. Like we do a whole week lesson on how to hold a pencil, how to hold a glue stick,
right?
How to hold a book and how to color. Like that's one of our first week long units. And the grind is tough. And it's tough in the sense that you show up and every single day it's, oh yeah, we're doing this again. Oh, we've got to go back to this. So what I find for me, first of all, I try and remember what needs to be done, but then I always try and find holes in a schedule to try and have some fun. So like in kindergarten, it's, you know, we go for walks, read a story outside, join another classroom, do stuff like that. And I think that's important in any job is know what needs to be done, but see if you can find small divots of ways to make that job more exciting. Like, you know, if you work in an industry where customers are there, find those customers that you see more often and maybe have a conversation with them. Or, you know, staff potlucks or going for a walk at lunch, dress down day, stuff like that, that make you look forward to not just going to a job because you feel like you have to, but going to somewhere where you feel like you want to.
That's a great, great statement, Dave. I love how you said that. Similar, you know, I've been doing the same job here. I became the principal of this building in 2012. And so I've been the principal now. This will be my 14th school year as principal. And my role is changing a little bit this year. I'm going to be starting to do some training for, you know, the director's position, which is like the equivalent of a superintendent position here down the road. That's not happening immediately. So I'm excited about that. But the thing that I always try to remember on a daily basis, because it is a grind, and when you get into the middle of, you know, November, after I get back from Arizona, when I go down to first pitch, I always kind of feel that crunch there. Like I get tired and want to be able to give myself that break. But I had a wise person tell me one time that you have to kind of live where your feet are. And so every day I start off with some mindfulness and just remind myself like what I need to do that day, what the priorities are for that day. And it is a grind, and there are a lot of things that need to get done. But if I can just stay in that moment where I'm at and keep my feet there and stay grounded where I'm at, I have a tendency to have better days and more productive days when I do that. And I do, too, remind myself that the job that I have, as difficult as it can be sometimes, is a gift. I work with remarkable people. The kids are challenging, but also really wonderful. And I really love that part of my job, being able to kind of share in that with them on a daily basis. And so at the end of the day, I feel like our 50 students and the 14, 15 people that I work with, it feels like this kind of odd, extended, dysfunctional family in a way. And I take that responsibility really seriously. And so I do try to remind myself of that on a weekly basis, of being lucky to be able to do what I like to do, even on the hard days. And so I try to stick with that. Now, you and I both have a lot of, you know, 12-hour days that come into the job, and we would not want other people to have to do that. But that's where we are, and that's the profession that we chose, and we're here. And so it's time to start the school year again. I'm not 100% ready, but I feel good about starting year 32 in special education.
32?
Year 32 coming up, year 14 as principal. So let's go for it. Let's do it. Dave, any final thoughts? Wrap us up with our quote of the week before we get out of here.
Yeah, it was tough to find a quote about grinding and scheduling and all that stuff, but I did find this, and it's not even about from a baseball player, or maybe not even about baseball, but it just says, it looks like it's from Linz Keaton. It's called, "We plan our lives around a schedule that changes the night before."
Doesn't it ever? Yes, it does.
So
you got to be flexible out there, right? Especially when you got kids who all of a sudden need a glue stick at 10 o'clock at night, or need a ride to work unexpectedly. That's kind of where we're at, right? So glad to be here. Dave, wrapping up show 18 with you. We'll be back again next Saturday with more coffee. I probably need to take a little bit more coffee than I did this morning before we started talking. As always, great to talk with you. It always just feels like a conversation that we record. It's very free and low key and easy. And I always enjoy doing that with you. For those of you who listen, thank you so much for listening. If you like what you're hearing, please subscribe. Please give us a like somewhere, wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week for episode 19 of Breakfast with the Beats. For Dave Funnel, I'm the host, Mike Carter, signing off for the week. Have a great weekend. Peace to you all.